China sanctions House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for what it calls vicious and provocative actions. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Chinese Foreign Ministry last hour took the wraps off sanctions against not just the House Speaker, but her immediate family. Beijing said it's in reaction to, quote, disregard of China's serious concerns and firm opposition to Ms. Pelosi's visit to Taiwan on Tuesday. In a brief statement, it said the controversial trip seriously interfered with China's internal affairs, seriously undermined its sovereignty and territorial integrity, seriously trampled on the One China principle, and seriously threatened peace and stability in the critically important Taiwan Strait. The BBC's Howard Chang told me how severe this action is.
These sanctions will be largely symbolic, like many of the sanctions given to foreign politicians, because it's unlikely a senior politician like Pelosi will have a lot of properties or money inside China or Chinese territories. They are just an expression of anger, I guess, from Beijing.
The thing that isn't just an expression, though, is since the trip, we've seen twice China deploy military ships and aircraft across the informal line that divides the Taiwan Strait from mainland China. It's the biggest ever military exercise in the region. Could we see even further, deeper action from China that sort of goes beyond saber-rattling?
It's very unlikely China will directly attack Taiwan anytime soon, militarily. But already they've announced a slew of economic sanctions against Taiwanese companies and banning Taiwanese imports. And also, any instability in the Taiwan Strait, South China Sea area, those areas are major shipping lanes. We're talking about most of the world's supply chain, manufactured goods, silicon chips that power from TV to mobile phones to the daily appliances we use, all come from there. So any disruption to the world's supply chain, the impact will be direct, and many say it could be bigger than the impact of Ukraine war. Mistrust is so high between China and Taiwan, China and US, so anything of a further escalation that's possible at this moment.
The BBC's Howard Chang for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you.
It's worth noting Taiwan's foreign minister has hailed Speaker Pelosi's visit as extremely significant and said Taiwan will continue to welcome democratic politicians from around the world. Checking the numbers now, stocks across Asia closed slightly higher before those sanctions were announced. Meanwhile, little movement here in European shares and in U.S. stock futures as investors await the U.S. jobs report, which is expected to show hiring slowed again in July. To Ukraine, where more than three ships loaded with grain have sailed away from the country's ports. They're bound for Ireland, the UK, and Turkey. There's just three of them. The vessels are among the first to leave Ukraine under terms of a complex deal signed by Moscow and Kiev last month. The BBC's Danny Eberhardt has more.
This marks a ramping up of grain exports from Ukraine after a first ship passed a joint inspection earlier this week, allowing it to pass through the Bosphorus on its way to Lebanon. Ukraine's deputy infrastructure minister said the three ships were carrying 57,000 tons of grain. Mustafa Nayem said Ukraine aimed to export 3 million tons a month as it tries to ship out 20 million tons from last year's harvest that had been held at port due to Russia's wartime blockade. He said the sooner that happened, the faster the food situation in the world would improve. But these ships are not bound for some of the areas where the grain is needed most.
That's the BBC's Danny Eberhardt reporting there. Staffing shortages are becoming common across industries, but there are now worries unfilled vacancies at England's National Health Service could pose a risk to patient safety. Official data show the NHS has become increasingly reliant on overseas workers. Recruitment from outside the European Union has more than quadrupled since 2015. That practice is expected to continue as hospitals try to fill staffing gaps after the pandemic. Recruitment for key medical jobs, though, isn't just a challenge for this country. It's an issue facing hospitals across the world, as the BBC's Jim Reid reports.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
In a large training room in Sheffield's Children's Hospital, 12 nurses are practicing CPR.
So make sure you really extend the neck.
Okay, is that okay?
This group, all from Kerala in southwest India, arrived in May and have exams next week. Anju Joy was working in Saudi Arabia before making the move to Yorkshire.
They helped us, like, from the beginning, so it was okay. Presently, I have planned to settle here with my family. It was my dream.
This hospital alone has recruited 24 staff from India this year, with another 40 due to start this autumn. Professor Sally Shearer is the director of nursing here.
We've got to deliver safe, high-quality care, and we can't do that without sufficient registered nurses. We've got lots of other strategies, but they take time, don't they, for people to undergo these training programmes.
And it wouldn't be possible to recruit the numbers that you want from within the UK at the moment.
Not enough, no. We would struggle.
This whole approach isn't new, of course. The health service was built in large part by nurses from Jamaica and doctors from Southeast Asia. More recently, some feared Brexit would hit recruitment. Since the referendum, fewer EU nurses have joined the NHS, but there has been a far larger increase from elsewhere, including the Philippines, India and Nigeria. Some, like the surgeon Mahmoud Bouta from Brighton and Sussex Medical School, worry about the impact on other health systems.
We know that staffing is the major problem in the NHS. It's also the major problem in health systems abroad. So we can't steal their workforce to plug our gaps.
Let me get the new mug and then you can...
In her new kitchen, Samira Barber is pouring out tea for her three young boys. Last October, she moved from Karachi to work as a consultant radiologist at Huddersfield Royal Infirmary.
I thought, why not? It'll be an adventure. It'll be good for the children as well. They'll be exposed to a newer culture. They'll learn how the world works.
But the market for skilled staff like this is global, and medical unions warn that visa delays and bureaucracy in the UK can make other countries, in particular the Gulf states, look more attractive. The government says it is funding more training places for medical students in England, but that takes time. And NHS executives accept that international recruitment like this will only grow in importance as demand for health services increases over the next decade.
That's the BBC's Jim Reid reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.